Hey everyone, and welcome to the Sleek Lens Photography Podcast, where we talk about everything photography related. I am your host, Jordan Yontz, and in this episode, we're going to talk all about social media, and in particular, we're going to talk about the quality of your images on social media. And I'm not talking about whether they're in focus or not, even though that is very important, actually. I'm going to talk about the best settings that you need to use to get the best image quality possible on three different types of social media platforms. First, I'm going to go over Instagram. That's a big one when it comes to photography, because that's how you share your photos, your feed, and everything is all in photos. Obviously, so that's a huge one. I'm going to talk about Facebook. I don't really prefer sharing a lot of photos on Facebook personally, because the Facebook does really compress and downgrade the photos, almost no matter what settings you use. It's still not going to look as good as it looks on your computer, but there are some things that you can change. And then we're going to talk about Pinterest, and Pinterest is pretty special because it doesn't really technically matter the image quality, as far as, you know, whether it's a 100% quality JPEG or something like that. Actually, the ratio, the resolution kind of matters when it comes to Pinterest to get more visible eyes on your work. So first, let's go over Instagram and see what kind of settings we can put on there to make the best image quality possible. Okay, so whether you're basically in Lightroom or Photoshop, Lightroom is what I usually use to export all my photos. That's where they're all cataloged. So the settings are going to be a little different in Lightroom compared to Photoshop, but most of the time you can get the same image quality in both using some of these exact settings. So for Lightroom, in this particular example, we're going to talk about exporting them to Lightroom. And so what I urge you to do is take these settings, put them into your export dialog box in Lightroom, and save a export preset for that setting. So that way you can call it Instagram if you want to. That way you will always have it. You always have those same exact settings, and you can just click on the export preset and it'll export those same exact settings every time you want to put a particular photo on Instagram. So first, let's go over a couple of basics here. First of all, the image format obviously needs to be JPEG. That's pretty standard when it comes to any kind of social media platform. So make sure you choose JPEG. I think a couple do accept PNGs and TIFFs and stuff like that, but you're really not going to know what you're going to get with those. So you want to just make sure you stick it to JPEG, because that's obviously a universal format for photos. And obviously the color space, I usually always keep it on Adobe RGB. That just makes everything nice and have a good color gamut. And also the resolution. The resolution I usually keep all my photos, no matter if they're going on the web or if they're getting printed, I always keep them at 300. Now, a lot of people don't prefer that because it obviously does make them load a little bit slower. The image size will be a little bit larger if you were to, instead of using 300 resolution, you use 150 or 72 would be kind of the norm, the old norm, I guess, when it comes to photos being online. But I always keep it on 300. I haven't had a problem with loading, with a matter of them loading fast. But if you're kind of getting a whole lot of these going in and out all the time, then the image size and megabits or whatever, that might be a little bit tough to handle depending on what system you have, because you need a lot of storage if you're going to keep exporting tons and tons and tons of images over on JPEG over time. Most of the time, everybody's okay with that. They don't, a 5 megabyte JPEG is not going to really crush anybody's system. But what we have here is just a couple simple things. So what I would do is start making that export preset and, change it to a format of JPEG and Adobe RGB for your color space and a resolution of 300. That really works out really, really great. But now let's go to the quality. You have a little quality slider when you choose a JPEG. And it basically goes from 0 to 100. I've tested a bunch of different values on that slider, and I found that around 75, or between 73 and 75, I know it's kind of specific, but between 73 and 75 for the quality really, really make a big difference. So I usually just keep mine at 75, just a nice even number there. So I just keep it at 75. I don't go all the way to 100, because actually if you were to do 100, if you were to have a JPEG at 100 quality, you might notice that even if it looks great on your computer and you upload it to Instagram in this example, they might crush it down a little bit more. They might compress it a little bit more. And if you have a kind of a lower quality JPEG, they probably don't touch it as much. So I don't know the specifics. I don't know the back end of Instagram when it comes to uploading photos, but I did do a lot of different testing, and 75 seems to be kind of like the sweet spot when it comes to the quality of the image. I also don't do a full res image. There's an option to do a full res JPEG. I also don't do that as well. I either make, depending on what kind of photo you're doing, I either make the long or the short edge a 1080. 1080 pixels wide, depending on what, if you're doing a vertical image or a horizontal image. So let's say you're doing a vertical image, you want that short edge to be 1080 pixels. If you're doing a horizontal photo, like a landscape orientated photo, same thing, 1080 pixels. That's kind of what I keep it. I kind of have two presets, Instagram vertical, Instagram horizontal, and that will, if I'm, depending on what photo I'm putting on there, I can choose each individual preset and it automatically just kind of gets the ratio perfect. So, that's kind of what I do as far as the sizing goes. Now, the last checkbox I do check is, or actually uncheck because most of the time it's checked, is the Sharpen 4 checkbox. So the Sharpen 4 checkbox is usually set to screen. I go ahead and uncheck that because the difference between a compressed image where it's sharpened for screen and a compressed image where it's not sharpened at all, because most likely you've done your sharpening anyway, you know, there's a lot of difference there, and it kind of looks muddy if you were to sharpen it for screen and not sharpen it, and you compare the two on Instagram, they kind of look a little bit muddy. So that's what I usually do for that. Now, one thing I want to talk about is when it comes to getting your photos actually on Instagram, because Instagram doesn't allow you to add your photos directly from a computer browser, really always is done with the phone or the iPad or something like that. A lot of people have different ways of doing it. Some people might take a photo out of their Lightroom catalog, export it, and then email it to themselves, or airdrop it to themselves on using an iOS device or something like that. There's actually a different way of doing it. I prefer to do it a different way than a lot of people do. Some people do use this method and it seems to work out great. So this is kind of the easiest method that I've used. And that's basically using a Dropbox or Google Drive or something like that. I personally use Dropbox. So what I'll do is set my destination to the Dropbox folder on my computer, which automatically syncs to the cloud. So I'll export my photo. Whenever I do my export preset, I make sure my destination is set to a particular folder on my Dropbox account. As soon as I hit that preset or the export preset, it goes over, it syncs to the cloud, and then all I have to do is go to my phone, download the photo to my phone, and then I can upload it to Instagram. It seems the easiest way to do it instead of having a whole bunch of emails come to you with a bunch of different attachments and stuff like that. It just seems easier because there's really no, once you hit a button and it exports, it's already on your phone, basically. So for those of you who are having a little bit of trouble figuring that out, that's one way to do it. And I actually really prefer that method over emailing or sharing it some other different file drop method. All right, so now let's talk about getting your photos to look better on Facebook. I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast that Facebook will do a terrible job when it comes to displaying your photos. You could have a really amazing, crisp, sharp photos with gear that costs $10,000, but as soon as you put it on Facebook, it looks like it was almost taken with a really cheap point and shoot, and it can really make your photos look bad. But there are some things that you can do to make them look a little bit better. They're not going to look crisp and they're not going to look perfect at all. I'll just put that disclaimer out there, but they are going to look a little bit better than they normally would. Okay. So let's go over the settings here. We have image format, obviously JPEG again, almost always going to be JPEG. Sometimes I feel weird talking about it being JPEG because that should be understood, but still, you never know. People might change it to some other type of format and wonder why it doesn't look good on Facebook, or wonder why it takes, you know, 30 minutes to upload one particular photo. But again, JPEG is good. Quality of 85 seems to be good. If I do a quality of 100, then the Facebook will actually take the JPEG and crunch it down a whole lot more than what I thought. I've done a little bit of comparison back and forth, and it found that around 85, it doesn't seem to be touching it as much. Touching it as much as meaning it wouldn't be compressing it as much. But as soon as I got above 85, it started to really, really compress it. And once I got down below about 80, then you could see the quality go down just a little bit more. It was a little bit more more soft of an image. So I found 85 works pretty well. And again, the long and short edge, I don't upload the full res. Sometimes I will upload even just a screenshot. If it's taken forever to upload, I'll do that. But the long and short edge will usually be around 2,084 pixels wide if it's a long horizontal image, or vertical image if it's that way. That's the short edge. So I'll change it to that. Color space again is Adobe RGB, and I'll sharpen this one for the screen. I did two test photos, and when I sharpened it for the screen, Facebook actually kept that really nice sharpening. But when I use kind of the same method that I do for Instagram, and I didn't sharpen it at all, you could definitely tell a difference. It looked a little bit more muddy, which is weird because you figured that both platforms would handle the photos pretty much almost the same, because, you know, Facebook has acquired Instagram a while back. So you think they would handle the photos a little bit more of the same. And then also the resolution is 300. I usually keep it around there, again, all for most of my images. And I still haven't had a problem with them loading. So I like to keep them there. If I'm uploading a lot of images, let's say you're a wedding photographer and you have, you know, 80 to 100 images that you want to put on Facebook to put in a portfolio or something like that, then I might change the resolution around to 240 just to kind of get it a little bit lower. But I won't really go lower to 240, because then it starts to look really pixelated. So I keep it around 300. But again, if I need to go down a little bit lower, 240 is kind of the sweet spot for that one. And that's basically it for the settings. It's not too terrible. I don't have to talk about getting the photos on Facebook, because they allow you to upload pretty much any way possible. So that one's a pretty easy one. Now let's quickly talk about Pinterest. Pinterest is not really one that I have settings for, except for I have one resolution setting. And that basically means how your photo should be orientated. So when you're uploading to Pinterest, a lot of people would just throw their Pinterest photo up there if it's a landscape orientated photo, so it's more horizontal, then, you know, it'll show up and be just like a normal photo. Some people will upload more vertical images. And one thing that I found is if you upload more vertical images, even more vertical than an actual camera would take. So let's say you had a vertical image and you threw it into Photoshop, made it a little bit longer and added some text down there at the bottom, or did something nice to it. You actually get a lot more views. And the reason why is because if you add more vertical images to your Pinterest accounts, if you have like a blog or something, you add them to your Pinterest account, they take up more of the screen real estate when it comes to people viewing it on the desktop and especially on the phone. So you would have you're basically taking up more of the screen. So that just gets people's eyes more on a particular image. So what I recommend for the resolution is to have a resolution of 1080 pixels wide and then 1920 high. So it's going to be a very vertical image. So you might be wondering how you get your image to show up nicely in there. Again, just pull your image into a document on Photoshop or any other kind of photo editor, and drag it in there, kind of change it, orientate it a little bit, and then kind of play with it, maybe add some text, maybe add a name for the photo at the bottom. Just kind of get a little creative with it, because you're most likely regular photos, meaning portrait oriented, meaning landscape orientated photos, will actually be a little bit more lost in the crowd when compared to more vertical images. So you can really kind of play with any kind of the settings that you want as far as quality and JPEG and all that kind of stuff. But the main thing to take away from that is making a more vertical image. So that's what I would recommend for that. All right, guys, hope you enjoyed that quick little overview of some really good settings to use to share for your photos on social media. I could have talked about Twitter and all that kind of stuff, but they don't really show up too bad on Twitter, depending on which ones, which photo settings you use. I haven't really found any that look terrible, so I kind of just concentrated on the main three there, and it'll really help you get a little bit more exposure, because you'll actually love the way your photos look on Instagram or Facebook or anything like that. So try those settings out, see if they work for you guys. Now let's get into the featured item of the week. All right, so the featured item of the week is actually a brand new video course that we just released this week, and it's called the Photoshop Compositing Essentials Video Course. It's basically, if you've ever wanted to make things out of nothing, pretty much, in Photoshop, this is the course that you want to check out. So what happens in this course is we walk you through three different photos, basically going start to finish for three different types of photos, and adding pieces to the photos just using stock images. And the reason I chose stock images for this is because that's usually the ones that the images that are more accessible to everybody. You can obviously shoot your own photos to go in these kind of composites, but I chose stock images because they're more accessible to everyone. And basically what we do is go through three types of different kind of compositing. So when I mean compositing, I mean taking an image, adding different elements, even adding different people to the image, adding different elements to the image, kind of color correcting everything to make them look really cohesive, make them look all natural. So what we do is take three different kind of compositing techniques, a very simple compositing technique that is a photo called War Plane, and we put a plane in a different kind of creative setting. It's really awesome. Then we have another photo that's called The Walk. And that photo, we kind of get a little bit more advanced, and we'll put a person in the image. We'll create a different environment around that person, add different effects, fog, stuff like that. And then in the last photo, we go over a little bit more of advanced, like probably the most advanced that any kind of person, except if you're in the industry of compositing, would ever need to be. And this photo is called Sail Away. And what this photo is just a really nice photo of a guy in a boat with rain coming down, cool little background and everything. It's a really great photo. And we take you from start to finish using all of the images from the course. You can download the images to use for yourself, and you can follow along as well. It's 12 videos total, 3.5 hours long. And again, you get all the downloads to follow along with the course. And throughout this course, you're going to learn a lot of different techniques that are very easy techniques, but you'll understand how to use them better now when you're going through this course. So you're going to be able to learn how to create different weather elements in Photoshop, how to blend everything in together using a bunch of different layer masks, different selection tools, different perspective tools, stuff like that. It's going to be a really great experience for you if you've ever wanted to do Photoshop compositing. So check that out. You head on over to sleeklens.com and you can go to the courses section there and you'll be able to check it out. It's really, really great course. I'm really proud of this one because it's going to help a lot of people out who've always wanted to do something like this. Also, if you like the course and you want to check it out, don't forget to use the coupon code for 10% off. The coupon code is SleekLensPodcast, all one word. You can get 10% off of the already low price of that awesome course. You can check it out there. So that is this week's podcast, guys. Thank you for joining me for this podcast, and I look forward to seeing you guys next week.